Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back inside the Horseshoe for the Monday after Michigan 45, Ohio State 23.
The sun always comes up, right?
No, I haven't seen the sun since Saturday. When I went into the press conference with Ryan Day, I came back out and the sun was going down. I haven't seen it since. And
I haven't that either.
Tells you that even Mother Nature, like Andy said before the show, little gloomy today. The Monday after Michigan 45, Ohio State 23. One of the most stunning scenes I've seen in the Horseshoe in a long time, maybe ever. Tim, you can speak for this, but hearing the Let's Go Blue chants rain out as Michigan was taking a knee, the flag plant that was undeterred, saw a lot of former players react to that. We're going to get into all of that as well as some agreements, disagreements on some things, whether we had personnel failure, coaching failure, or execution failure. Those are the three things Ryan Day hammers home. That's the 40-year vet, Tim May. That's Andy Backstrom. I'm Spencer Holbrook. Fellas, let's get into it. Tim, the rewatch was probably not as okay for Ohio State as maybe we even thought. I was more stunned on the rewatch than I was watching it in real time. What say you?
Well, like the stuff you just pointed out, to the victors go the spoils. That's exactly what the post game was all about, you know? I mean, what these ex-players think, Ohio State was finally going to get out there and fight them, you know, after the game. It was a little bit too late. We're going to debate what the first half was all about, I'm sure. Second half was all about Michigan. The second half was all about Michigan, just like the year before. The second half was all about Michigan with the season on the line, with everything that was on the line in this game, including a trip to the Big Ten Championship game and a certified, probably, berth in the college football playoff. Ohio State is still in there swinging. We'll get to that, I'm sure, at some point in time. They need to really start rooting for a couple of upsets, but definitely one over the week, this coming weekend. But bottom line is they got outplayed, outcoached, and I don't know which one goes first, outplayed or outcoached. When you don't catch it, when you don't tackle a guy on an outlet pass, desperation outlet pass in a blitz situation, and instead of tackling him for a 10-yard gain and a first down, he goes the distance for a touchdown. I'm not sure if that's on the coaches or the players, on blitzing when you don't need to blitz, maybe, or whatever. You know, there are all kinds of ways to debate everything after it happens. Bottom line is, in the second half, Ohio State came out leading 20-17 and scored 3 points and gave up how many?
28.
4 touchdowns.
Yep.
They got their butt kicked at home. And like I said, to the victors go the spoils.
Andy.
The penalties. We didn't talk about them that much in a rapid reaction. They stuck out to me in the rewatch. Yeah. 9 penalties for 91 yards. In this game last year, they had 10 penalties. I mean, in a game like this where you need to be more disciplined than ever, it hasn't showed up back-to-back years. To me, that's part of that's coaching, but part of that's also just player discipline. We talk a lot about toughness this year. To me, toughness isn't just about getting that extra yard. It isn't just about fighting through injury. These guys fought through injury. Tommy Eichenberg's out there playing with 2 casts. Lathan Ransom's got a cast. These guys are tough in terms of the physical standpoint. Mental toughness, though, you can't check out when you give up 1 back-breaking touchdown or 2 back-breaking touchdowns. The defense seemed to just kind of give up a little bit. I mean, Donovan Edwards was practically untouched on those 2 touchdowns at the end of the game. That's just unacceptable. So in terms of the toughness component, I think it's mental toughness. You can't have that unsportsmanlike conduct penalty that G. Scott had. Totally unnecessary, headbutting Michigan safety Rod Moore. I mean, that hurt them big time. Set them back 25 yards because they already had the holding penalty. And, you know, they gained 30 of those yards back, and that's where they could have gone for it on 4th and 5. So 3 false start penalties, 2 defensive pass interference penalties, 2 unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. You just can't have that in a game like this.
3 false start penalties in your own building. That's what we're talking about. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's discipline. And they, you know, Ohio State showed a lack of discipline on those pass interferences. Ohio State showed a lack of discipline on a coaching side of like you said, Tim, sending an all-out blitz when you had Michigan made there in the first half.
Yeah.
You know, that I think that's getting greedy. Maybe
well,
that's just
yeah, a, but I mean, you're sending an all-out blitz, and then your guy gives a guy a cushion to make the catch and then misses the tackle. Who's at fault there? Did the player give too much cushion?
Well,
you know what I mean? There are all kinds of things, but yet, you know, coaching finally comes down to getting guys in position to make plays. No, it comes down to getting guys in position and making the play. And, you know, so it always falls back on coaching in one form or fashion, you know? I just wanted to clarify that.
And that's why I said
– I'm not sure I did. But.
That's why I said in one of my two columns at lettermonroe.com that this wasn't a loss on Ryan Day, Jim Knowles, C.J. Stroud, whoever you – this was a program loss, just an absolute program – I'll use it, the word. It was a program failure. And you're undisciplined in key moments. You're aggressive when you don't need to be. You're conservative when you should be aggressive. You're, you know, I guess subtly shifting blame elsewhere after games. You're talking about how one game doesn't define this season. Sorry, it does. And that's the reality in this building is 106,787. Hit the exits early, most of them, maybe 1,000 stayed around from Michigan to watch the celebration. But this was a program failure. And, you know, coaching, execution, there were some scheme issues on defensively that I saw on social media from some people smarter than I the day after.
Yeah.
That's just what it is. And so now Ohio State has to go back to the drawing board. Last year, at least, you could point to, okay, you're not tough enough. How do you get tougher? Well, physically, you know, even on the rewatch, Ohio State dominated the first half physically. It picked up third and short.
Yeah.
It gained tough yards. It was running the ball really well. Michigan
led at halftime. It counterpunched. Every time Michigan punched, it counterpunched.
Michigan had 10 rushing yards at the half. Ohio State was handling itself up front. I don't know what happened in that locker room, but it should never happen again in an Ohio State locker room.
Bad oranges or what? You know, bad orange slices? Who knows what happened?
Yeah.
They didn't come out and do what they said they had. I mean, Bobby Bowden had this great line. Whenever he was leading a game in the locker room, when they were leading, he would say, all right, we're going to go out there and score points. And he would turn to the defense and goes, okay, guys, they don't score in the second half, we win. You know what I mean? You're up 20, you're up by 3 points and going out for the second half and you give up 28. That's a failure. Failure defensively. No doubt about it. This new scheme, which looked really good for, well, pretty good for 11 and a half games, got its teeth kicked in the second half of this game. I'm talking about the new defense. And then offensively, the Heisman Trophy, you've got the Heisman Trophy big-time candidate who they win this game, comes out of this leading, in my opinion, over Caleb Williams, who's now the leader because of the way USC is finishing. But you had him sitting there. He throws for over 300 yards, and Ohio State scores how many touchdowns? Yeah, two. Ohio State scores two touchdowns, but with their Heisman Trophy guy throwing for over 300 yards, there were moments in this game, and we'll talk about it, on third and fourth down situations when they could have gone for it and maybe taken control of it, and they were timid. They were timid. It was almost like watching Ryan Day play a little bit of trestle ball. Okay, our defense will take care of it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Fall back. And, well, the defense didn't take care of it.
Yeah.
And looking back, there are all kinds of things you can – after things have happened, you go, well, they should have done this, they should have done that, they should have done this and that. But you should have gone in with that attitude that, you know, we're playing offense, man. We're going after it. And how many times did you see Ohio State really throw the ball down the field?
Once. They scored a touchdown.
Yeah. How many times? Now, they got a great defensive call on that. Their safety for the first time all day came flying up, and it was one-on-one. Marvin Harrison Jr. versus their corner, and that just one of the more perfect passes you're ever going to see, and great routes run by Marvin Harrison Jr. for that touchdown to put him back in the lead. If you watched over the Michigan bench was going, oh, crap. You know what I mean?
There's Marvin.
I mean, we had, you know, they had just, I think, anyway, at what point in the game, because all the scores kind of get mushed up right now. It's like a mush pit. But the bottom line is they had disheartened Michigan because Michigan thought they had them where they wanted them, and boom, right on the lickety-split, right down the field. So there are all these chances for Ohio State to take control of this game, and it didn't. And you can call it timid coaching. To a certain extent, it was. You can call it over-aggressive defense at certain camps. Yes, it was. But this is what happened in this game from a defensive standpoint. Ohio State thought it had to stop the run and could play patty cake with their wide receivers. or with their receiving core. One-on-one. I mean, that didn't work because they stayed in the game with some ridiculous plays of guys getting one-on-one coverage where a couple of times the coverage didn't even happen.
And,
you know, and then from then on, wow, Michigan just got its hose. J.J. McCarthy played a hell of a game and made that run when he had to each time that was critical to keep drives alive or to score a touchdown. That was power quarterback left. That's all that play was. And, you know, Ohio State got outplayed at the quarterback position in this game, mainly because of the way Michigan let their quarterback play.
And Ohio State stayed in man-to-man the entire game.
Yeah.
Knowing that what was going on the back end, it stayed in man-to-man the entire game, trusted its defensive backs.
I got a little excited there.
That's all right, Tim. I'm going to shift back to
my podcast.
I'm going to shift back to the offense a little bit. That's why we give you a podcast, Tim. I'm going to shift back to the offense for a second because you said timid. Andy, I think you'll agree with me. Timid coaching is running a screen to, pardon, you know, no offense to Xavier Johnson at all, but to Xavier Johnson on third and three rather than being aggressive. Timid is on fourth and two. You throw to a covered Cade Stover rather than using the wide receivers that you have at your disposal. Timid is obviously the fourth and five when C.J. Stroud, your quarterback, says, I got this, coach, and you don't trust him. That's timid coaching. And, you know, a lot of people have been very, very critical of Ryan Day in the last 2 days. And I understand that maybe this is beating a dead horse and piling on that. But in this kind of game, in this setting, with everything that was on the line, he was outcoached. And now we Ohio State, as an offensive staff and as a program, has to reckon with that.
Yeah, and I might add timid coaching is maybe also not playing Dallin Hayden as much as he earned the time the week before. I mean, this is a guy.
By that one.
Yeah, he runs for, what, 143 yards in the second half against Maryland, three touchdowns.
No fumbles.
No fumbles. And every time Ryan Day has talked about Dallin Hayden this year, he's got to protect the football. He must have a terrible fumbling problem in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center because that can be the only reason I can think of why we're not seeing him on the field more than we have been. And think about it. In a game like that, look, fine. Chip Traynham played well. He had 14 carries, 83 yards. There's nothing to, you know, complain about that. He played well for a guy who switched over to linebacker, came over from Arizona State. But I will say, who's to say that Dallin Hayden wouldn't have ripped off a touchdown or two? You know, that could have been the difference in the first half when you could have had a chance to pull away and you didn't, and you let Michigan hang around, and then you go into that second half and get absolutely whooped. So, you know, I think that with the Dallin Hayden thing, that to me is timid coaching because you're not trusting a guy that committed here, that signed here, that has proven that he is talented as a true freshman. I mean, you got to give someone like that a chance, even if you have seen ups and downs in practice. He's delivered in games, and I think you need to reward that. Otherwise, guys, check out.
I can think of three different plays, Andy. There were two where a hole was hit by Chip Traynham, who, again, played well. I'm not putting this on Chip Traynham whatsoever. I thought he played well. I think Dallin Hayden hits a hole a little harder and maybe breaks into the second level and gets you at least 10 more yards, maybe takes one to the end zone. You've got the crack sweep or the pitch play on, I think, third and four from around midfield where maybe if you give that to Chip Traynham, I know Cade Stover missed a block there, and that's another issue that we're probably going to have to talk about at some point was, you know, throughout this season, that's just something that happened. Maybe Dallin Hayden hits that corner and gets that first down and you extend a drive and go score. I completely agree. And I wasn't trying to set you up with the Dallin Hayden point, but that is just another example, like you said, of timid coaching that you can't have in a game like this, especially when you've got a coach on the other sideline doing the aggressive things that he's doing.
Hey, they had a former linebacker playing at running back, and he throws a pass. I mean, you know, you go with who you think is best for the situation because the coaches are watching the practice a lot, hell of a lot more than we are.
Yeah.
Andy's saying, though, wow, you know, Dallin must have a ball security problem, although he hasn't had in games at all. He's been zeroed in. And I thought Chip Traynham played well on Saturday, considering we hadn't seen him play running back.
Yep.
And I don't know. That was an odd first. Matter of fact, if you think about it, that was an odd first possession by Isaiah. Xavier Johnson got a carry. Mayan Williams got a carry. Chip Traynham got carries. Ohio State got a touchdown. You know, clickety-clack right down the track. I'm talking about the opening drive
position
of the game.
Yeah.
And you're kind of going, wow, man, this Emeka Egbuka. You know what I mean? I mean, everybody was feeling really good.
Tim, I even said,
Ohio State had a good plan going in. But when things got neutralized, I mean, I don't know how to explain it. I mean, it's just kind of odd to think that it's 2 years in a row now, a team that was so good offensively for the most part, everything's average. You can look at any lull in anybody's season and go, what were they doing there? You know, like in the windstorm at Northwestern, which now everybody's saying was the harbinger for what happened Saturday. You know, Ohio State took the lead Saturday. They were playing fairly aggressive offensively. They were up at the half. And then in the second half, got just outplayed and outcoached just like the year before. That's the thing. That's what we ought to be zeroing in on is, like you said, what happened at halftime? Do they need to change their Gatorade or whatever their energy drink is? What did they do at halftime that took them out of this game? Or did Michigan step up and kind of change its plan? Yeah, Michigan stepped up and changed its plan. That's what was great. When you talk about outcoached, it's like it's not just calling a play on a certain down. It's like you had your guys ready for that competitive stamina part of the game of the season. Harbaugh had his team ready for that.
Well,
for the second straight year. That's why that was stressed all year by Ohio State was competitive stamina, which means finish the job. Michigan did, and Ohio State didn't.
Well, I'll tell you this, Tim. It was very, very apparent during the first drive of the second half that Michigan changed its game plan offensively. Went from running the ball and hitting over the top shots with play action to just running the spread option because they knew Ohio State wasn't going to adjust because Ohio State had shown the tendencies to continue to do what it was doing if it was having success, didn't really adjust. And so Michigan made a massive second half adjustment on offense. Then you flip over the other side of the ball. I don't feel like Ohio State really adjusted in the second half as far as offensive game plan. Yep. It was more of the same. That's why we saw, again, quick throws to Cade Stover, quick throws and runs to Xavier Johnson, Chip Tranum in the backfield. CJ Stroud, you know, I thought he played well, but didn't change anything in the second half. Those are the coaching things, like you said, Tim. That it's not just, you know, what did you do on a third down that set up your fourth down? What did you do that didn't get you a first down? It's what did you do for that 25 minutes at halftime when everybody's expecting you to adjust? Michigan's shown a propensity to adjust with its two offensive and defensive coordinator, two new guys, by the way, this year. They've shown that they adjust really well. Ohio State knew Michigan was going to adjust really well, and Ohio State just simply didn't adjust.
Yeah, and plus Michigan's got a former NFL coach, just like they did last year, former NFL coach at defensive coordinator.
Yep.
Who knows how to make these swings on the fly. And that's been the difference the last 2 years is the way they've gone about, confusing is not the right term, but just maybe confusing is the first thing. Confusing Ohio State's offense, taking away what Ohio State wants to do, or at least seemingly doing that. And that's a former pro coach going against a former pro coach who Ryan Day was, you know, for a couple of years in the NFL and stuff. And there's something to that, in my opinion. Confounding a team is almost as effective as going up and smacking them in the mouth.
Yeah.
And Ohio State just didn't feel comfortable in its offense. That's why they didn't go for it on that fourth and five after they fought back from that. What was it? First and 35?
First and 35.
You did the math for me that day, yeah. Andy.
First and 35.
Yeah. They got a fourth and a manageable fourth and five. Hey, go for it. Midfield, you know, what are you going to lose? You know, except the game, I guess, is what they're thinking. And I just think the out-coaching part of this can't be overlooked.
Yeah, when you go from first and 35, you scratch and claw your way back to fourth and five. If you pick up a first down there, that's pretty demoralizing for a Michigan team that had you
drive alive. You're going to – I mean – to me, one of the plays of the game was the defensive pass interference call against Ronnie Hickman when Ohio State got snookered, but the guy's open in the back of the end zone. Ronnie Hickman goes right up to him, and he's bodied up on him like this.
Thanks, Tim.
And, well, I'm just trying to show people I didn't go like this. I'm just bodied up on you. And a ref could have let that go because I don't even know if that pass was catchable when you look at it on replay many times. The guy did touch the ball. It was Ronnie Bell, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, did touch the ball, but that's about it. And that was a pass interference call that gave Michigan, instead of kicking a field goal, new life at the 2 yard line. And a couple of plays later is when JJ McCarthy kept on that power basically power quarterback sweep cut inside for a touchdown, which I thought was a real backbreaker. I mean, I don't know.
That sequence
is my mind's wandering, but the point is, it's not like Ohio State quit playing. It's just things happened as the game went on, which you go, oh, shoot, there's another cross to bear. You know what I mean?
That was the difference between 27-20 and 31-28.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about this safety tandem of Ronnie Hickman and Lathan Branson. They've been very good at points of this season, especially Lathan Branson of late. But it's just not great optics of the whole thing. Ronnie Hickman kind of declaring for the draft before this game.
Yeah.
Then, you know, Lathan having the injury last week, not playing as well. This week against Michigan, Ronnie not having his best game. Other safeties not playing well either. We talked before the show about Cam Martinez just having a rough go of it. I think he played four snaps, and one of them he got completely turned around in coverage and gave up. I think that was the one to Colson Loveland.
No, that was the second Cornelius Johnson deep ball.
Cornelius Johnson, they all blend together.
Talk about Colson Loveland was Lathan.
Right. Talk about wide receivers that are going to go down in Michigan lore. You said that after the game. I mean, Colson Loveland and Cornelius Johnson were guys that were pretty much on no one's radar aside from Michigan fans. I mean, even looking into this game, they had okay production, but they weren't jumping off the page. And I think that's just, you know, obviously they're on scholarship. They play for Michigan. But I think that was just a lapse in defense. And honestly, they committed to stopping the run, and they did in the first half. They only let up 10 rushing yards for Michigan. So that was the game plan going in, clearly, regardless of who was playing at running back. Blake Corum, their Heisman Trophy candidate running back, played one series. And, you know, regardless of who was in there, they were going to commit to stopping the run. And the defensive front did that. But at the end of the day, they did not give the respect to those receivers.
Yeah, this plays out. Donovan Edwards is a hell of a running back.
Right.
But, you know, the only question mark about him was how healthy was he going to be in this game? Because he's definitely a guy, you give him a step, he's gone.
He nearly played here.
I said.
That's definitely a guy.
But there's a guy, big-time running back, but you didn't know. You know, he was one of those mystery guys. How much is he going to play, or can he play? He didn't even play the week before. He went, and, boy, you give him a step and he's gone. I think he proved that twice, you know, in the semifinals and the finals of the 75 and 85-yard dash.
Yeah.
That was crazy. That was just like – that looked like last year of guys just cracking to the line, linebackers getting them – getting embedded into the mosh pit, and nobody being home after you crack the line of scrimmage. That was hard to watch.
Yeah. Michigan came into this building here with out their best player for most of the game. New defensive coordinator, new offensive coordinator, first year starting quarterback. Walked out here with a 22-point win over Ryan Dane, Ohio State, and now the Buckeyes have to go back in time.
Michigan came in here having completed only one pass of 42 yards. That was their longest pass of the year going into this game. They had three touchdown passes of well over that. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
They came in and said, what the hell? Let it all hang out. Now, like I said a while ago, a 10-yard pass that turns into a 71-yard touchdown or wherever that was, that was just kind of like a little bit of luck involved. But the point is, they weren't going to stand there and just take it. They were going to do what they had to do to win the game and flip the script to a certain extent. And that's what stood out. They put the ball in the hands of their quarterback, and their quarterback won the game for them.
So, again, without your best player, new coordinators on both sides of the ball, and an extremely, extremely aggressive head coach who was willing to do whatever it took in this building to walk out with a win. He walks out with a blowout win. Now he gets to go to Indianapolis, and Ohio State's going to be at home. Need a lot of help from USC losing. That's step one. USC's got to lose. TCU's got to lose to Kansas State. I don't even know if you get in over TCU if it loses, because Kansas State's a good team. And TCU already has a win over the Wildcats this year. I'm not sure.
I don't know, yeah.
So I don't know. That's a debate. I know one thing for certain. Ohio State has to root for Utah. The counterpart from the Rose Bowl last year. If you don't want to go back to the Rose Bowl, you need Utah to go to the Rose Bowl by beating USC.
We talk about how angry TCU fans will be if, you know, the first year of the playoff, they don't get in because they're held back for not having a conference championship game. Now they get to the conference championship game, and if they lose, it might be the reason they don't get in the playoff.
And Ohio State's
on the side again to get in over TCU. Yeah, That would be interesting.
I think if TCU gets beat, Ohio State's in. That's what I think.
In my personal opinion, I hate to say this on a Ohio State
but I don't fan, think TCU's fan side. Get beat. I think the better chance is Utah beating USC, and I'm sure I'll be wrong.
I'm saying this knowing who I'm speaking to, Ohio State fans. I don't think Ohio State deserves to be in the playoff. You just played in a playoff game. I'm not a crazy about the 12-team stuff. You just played in a playoff game out here and got embarrassed at home. I think the Rose Bowl is where Ohio State should go. I think
let me ask you this, if you're the Rose Bowl, and you're sitting there and you had a hard time selling tickets to Ohio State fans a year ago, coming off a loss, and you're sitting there again, why does everybody think that's a slam dunk that the Rose Bowl is going to pick Ohio State when, in fact, you've got Penn State sitting out there that hadn't been there in a long time? I'm not sure that's a given. I think Ohio State's going to be in one of the New Year's Six games. There are a lot of people out there who would like to see, I'm not sure Ohio State would, or even Alabama would, like to see Alabama-Ohio State if, in fact, that's a consolation game somewhere. I'm not sure the Rose Bowl is as big a given as some people think, but that's just me speculating.
I do, but if it's not, I don't think Ohio State fans have much of an appetite either to watch Alabama's backup against probably Kyle McCord. So, you know, it's kind of crazy.
Well, that's the dice you have to roll, you know. I think C.J. Stroud, if Ohio State's in a college football playoff semifinal, C.J. Stroud's playing. If they're not, I think he left a lot of indications that he probably would not be playing in a regular bowl game on Saturday night. So we'll see where that goes.
Yeah. But that's all speculation for the rest of this week and into Sunday when Ohio State gets its bowl assignment. Wherever that is, Letterman Row will be. That's the 40-year vet, Tim May. He'll be there. That's Andy Backstrom. I'm Spencer Holbrook. Further autopsy, fellas, of Michigan 45, Ohio State 23, the Monday after Michigan 45, Ohio State 23. This has been a great time to come together every Monday with you guys all season. We'll probably do this every Monday now moving forward because it's just such a fun time to be able to talk about the Buckeyes on camera and give it to you, the people. Again, Tim May, Andy Baxter, I'm Spencer Holbrook. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We will see you inside the Woody Hayes Athletic Center soon enough, once we find out where Ohio State's heading for postseason play.